Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
We definitely come to worship when we're away, and we come back, we're always excited for the worship that we're going to have together. This morning, by special request, Scott and Al Dean have been in the area a little while. But by special request today, they're going to take the pulpit, and I'm appreciative of that. I felt so compelled of the Holy Spirit to ask you to do that. That there will be an impartation of God's goodness into our lives and into our people that he said you could represent him well in, and that he's chosen you for that task. He was specific about that. So I was excited when they said yes, and I didn't have to push at all. They just were ready. Thank you for that. But this morning, as they come to share, Scripture teaches us that we should doubly honor those that serve the Lord, and though they don't request that and they would be a little bit gun-shy to that, we've honored the Lord Jesus above all. But we learn in this house that we also honor the servants of the Lord. Now, as they come to share, they're going to come together, and Aldine's going to introduce what they're doing as ministry, because their ministry's expanding and changing, and their role is shifting in what God's called them to do, and we're fully and completely behind their choices and decisions, and I believe the leading of the Holy Spirit to multiply their efforts on the field. I've got to get used to having a handheld. Sorry about that. I'm used to moving all around. But as they come and share, when she's finished, I think we're going to see a video, and then Scott's going to bring the word, and when they're finished today, again, I ask you to linger. If you have pot roast cooking at home, call somebody, tell them, turn it down 100 degrees. It'll last a little while longer. And give a little time to understand what they're doing in the ministry. Understand that when we give to be a part of somebody's work, we're partnering with what they produce. And these folks produce fruit for the kingdom. They have a wonderful heart toward the Lord. When I heard of the changes that they're making to honor the Lord in this leg of ministry, it's most wonderful and aligned with our heart to see local churches raised up for the kingdom of God. So I want to introduce, without any further talk on my part, our missionaries to Brazil, but the servants of the Lord, Scott and Aldine Blunier. If you'd come, please. You can stand. Stand and give them a great shout and hand clap. Amen. Amen. We're excited to have you here today. Can you tell? All right.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All glory to Jesus. We truly feel very humbled and very overwhelmed by all the love and faithfulness and trust that you guys have poured out into our lives. And we feel very refreshed. And, you know, as I walked into the church this morning, I was just overwhelmed by the beauty of Christmas, the beauty of Jesus in your lives. And as I look at these trees and I see the lights, and it reminds me of the light that makes the darkness flee. And as I look at your lives, I see lights. I see lights and lights and lights. And you know, this time of the year is so special. I love Christmas. We celebrate the best we can in Brazil. It's very different down there, of course. But I just want to encourage you that you don't have to work real hard and have a lot of pressure and stress to make the most perfect Christmas. Because many years ago, there was the first perfect Christmas because our perfect Savior came. So I just want to take that pressure off of you because He makes Christmas perfect. And people all over the world are celebrating Christmas as just that first Christmas was most unideal situation. And, you know, maybe the mashed potatoes burned, but you can know in your heart that you love Jesus. And I want to encourage you, I want to bless you this morning to put a little bit of that busyness, that pressure aside, and I want you to think about the person that is most undesirable to be with that doesn't have the Lord, or that person that irritates you, or that person that's just, they're kind of a little different social class. I want to bless you this morning because Jesus came to save people from their sins, and he is the Word. So I want to bless you this morning to put on some coffee, get out those Christmas cookies you're saving in the freezer, and invite that person over. And I want you to share with them. I want you to be that light that I see shining in you and share with them the love of Jesus through the Word. It might be awkward, it might be hard, but I know Jesus will be so honored. And when you have Christmas and it's not the perfect ideal Christmas you thought it was, you'll know that you made your King so happy. And as you do that, I want to promise you, I want to be accountable to you as a church that we are going back into the Amazon basin. We're in, been in transition. We didn't know where we were going to end up at. We didn't know what God had for us. We got rid of our things. We're down to suitcases and call us minimalists. No, I'm just kidding. And you know, but we're not retired. We are refired, and we are just as excited as ever to take the light of Jesus to push back the darkness in the villages of the Amazon Basin.
Hallelujah.
And we're so excited today because we have Matt Steidinger and Janelle with us. I think Janelle's back there, isn't that? And her kids, and he's the field director. Scott will be sharing more about that. But anyway, I just want to say that God has been so faithful to us through this transition. We have been refreshed. And we were able to sit at an amazing course at YWAM on leadership for 6 weeks, and it was just an oasis in the desert for us. We were able to spend time with our kids, and then with supporters, be able to meet with a lot of people. We've been busy, too, going here and there, but it's been good, and I just want to give Jesus the glory. Everybody has been super supportive, and God is providing, and people are getting behind us and the ministry, and it's so exciting to see what God's doing. But Christmas is a very special family time, too, and I want to give you an update on our family, and I want to say thank you so much for the Christmas gift for our family, and it will be a very, very special time together. And so our oldest daughter married a Brazilian 2 years ago, and they lived in Sao Paulo. He's from Sao Paulo, was on the worship team of the Paz Church and everything, and then the company that he worked for closed, and so he felt like this was his window of opportunity to leave Brazil. And because he had done his master's degree in Paris, he's fluent in French. So he felt the Lord leading them to Montreal, Quebec. So they're living there. We visited them and got to go to church with them as a French church. This man has already been persecuted on Facebook, as Pastor was talking about, being persecuted. But the church has 1,500 people in 5 years, which is amazing for Montreal, which has less than 2% people attending church. So he's studying there, and he's studying law, and they're planning to live and work there and be a light for Jesus. Our second daughter lives in Florida, Pensacola. She's a nurse, and she is signing up to work with Samaritan's Purse on the disaster relief team. But she'll still be working as a nurse too. And our youngest is still in Dallas at Christ for the Nations and Dallas Baptist University. So she's going into her last year and a half of college too. They're studying. So God is so faithful, and we're so thankful, and just want to say thank you as a church body for all you've done for us. We feel so blessed. Thank you.
You can take that with you. Hallelujah. Back in 1990, my wife and I came to this church here in Roberts with some friends. It was just a few weeks before we were to leave for Brazil for our first time. And we had no expectations. We were just simply here with our friends. And I think the friends shared with the pastor what our goal was. And I think, if I remember correctly, the pastor said, "Hey, come up and share a little bit." We came up, shared a little bit what we were going to do and what God had put in our heart to do, and we were done, and we started to walk back, and the pastor says, "I want to bless this people. We want to support these people." And that's how we got to be a part of your congregation, and we feel honored to be down in Brazil representing you. I do believe with all my heart, when we are in eternity, you will see and recognize many people that you had a part to come to know the Lord. And you will understand what an incredible body of Christ you are part of because of your investment. Thank you. Thank you very much. We served in a mission, Project Amazon, for 28 years in the Santa Ana area. If you could start that slideshow. The main focus of that ministry was to establish the gospel along the rivers. And my responsibility was in the office. And I did a lot of the accounting and administration in the office. We were catalyst to the people on the rivers. The work was so big when we got there, I spent most of my time in the office just doing administration and accounting. There was lots of national workers, lots of boats to maintain. There was lots of work. So most of my ministry was more in the administrative area. And I loved it. I loved what God was doing through us and never dreamed that I would leave Santa Ana. About 5-6 years ago, Matt and Janelle came to Brazil to serve with PAS. Matt's heart was, I want to use my planes to get out there and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those people. And so Matt asked me one day, he said, I want to find a place where I can use my planes most effectively. And I want to go to this unreached area that's, I want to check it out with my family. And he asked us to go with him. This is just about 2 years ago. And so we went with him just as like a support vehicle out on the Amazon jungle. It's dangerous to be out there alone. To have a second person to help you is very valuable. So we went along simply as a support team, just what I've always been doing. And so we began to ask people, what kind of works do you have? It would be as if somebody was coming here and saying, Pastor, what kind of works, what kind of outreaches do you have here in your local area so that they could work with you? And so we began to ask people, and people would say over and over, we want to be out there on the rivers. We recognize the need. We know that there's people out there that have never heard the gospel, but we don't have anybody to go. And even if we did, we don't have any finances to send them. This broke our heart because that was what we were doing in Santa Ana. We had been doing that for years, sharing the gospel with the unreached villages. So excited, and we got so excited, we went back to Santa Ana. And this is when the Lord began to just change our whole view and our whole mindset. That whole area had been evangelized. There were hundreds of churches in that area. And the Lord just all of a sudden said to us, you know, I've got a different ministry for you. And it was a shock to me because I wasn't looking for it. It was like, wait, God. And as I began to listen to God speak to me through his word so clearly, I've got another plan for you. And I'm like, I am going to trust him. It doesn't make sense to the supporters. It doesn't make sense to me. But okay, I will leave. And I didn't know where I was going to go. I stepped out in faith. I knew that God would be faithful. Through a long series of events, Matt ended up leaving the mission that he was with, our mission. And about a year after we made the decision, we ended up deciding to go and serve with the mission that Matt's joining. And so that's kind of how we got to that mission. It's a much longer story. I'll be glad to share it with anybody individually. Give me a call. We'll meet up with you. I love God's story in our life. So our mission is Amazon Salt and Light. And we have a goal of bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what my message is about today, is the good news of Jesus Christ. The second slide. We left Santa Ana, and we are living in Humaitá. You have to understand how huge Brazil and the Amazon basin is. The next slide. This is the United States superimposed on top of Brazil. It's almost, if you look at the size, it's almost identical, the continental U.S., with Brazil. Brazil only has 26 states, so it's a very huge country, and it's a very big states. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is the state of Amazonas where we are going to be serving. We have been serving in the state of Pará. Now, Amazon, the state of Amazonas is huge. It took 8 U.S. states to equal the size of the state. So you got to understand the immensity of, that's just one small part of the Amazon basin, okay? Next slide, please. This is that state of Amazonas with a survey done by a pilot friend of mine. His name is Marcio. He went out to all of the villages and created a GPS setting for each village of the Amazon, state of Amazonas. And he marked if that village had a gospel witness in it or not. Just simply, yes, it did. No, it didn't. So it could be a whole church. It could be just one believer that he found. But if it had a gospel presence, he said, okay, this is green. If it didn't, it's red. And so, first of all, to understand this one, you see the blue is the most evangelized, then the green, then the yellow and the orange, and then the red is 10% or less. So what that means is one out of every 10 villages don't have a gospel. And so that is what drew Matt and me to this area, because of the need of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area. Next slide, please. If you can understand, just 50 miles of one stretch of the river, here is 45 villages that I counted right along the main stream, not counting the outside, just 45 right along there. Out of those 45 villages, only 2 have the gospel. So in that place, we're talking maybe 4% evangelized. You see what a huge project it is. If you look at it from God's perspective, and he says, okay, I've got a church in almost every town of the United States, but I still got places out here that nobody has been willing to go to. It is tough. It does cost money. There is a cost physically. It's not comfortable. You sweat a lot. It is difficult. I can understand why people haven't gone. My wife hasn't always been so encouraging, but God is faithful. Next slide. This shows you what the Purus River, it's going to be about 400 kilometers or 250 miles away, and we'll be able to use our plane. You can see what happens when the land is so flat that there's no place for a river. It would be a little bit like trying to dump water out on a tile. It just sits there in puddles. Well, this is what happens. And every year when the water comes up, it creates new channels. And so it is a challenge for people to live there because it can be very dangerous during the high water. And so you can see, I went 6.5 hours by speedboat, and Matt told me that it would take about less than 10 minutes to get there by plane. So it's an incredible savings, both financially and time-wise. We need to be wise with our finances. We want to do the best job we can. I think God is excited about using us. He has to have somebody to go. We are excited to be part of that plan. The next slide. This is Matt and Janelle. They are with us today. Thank you for coming, Matt. And their 4 children. And they are from the Forest Fairbury area. I used to work for Janelle's father when I lived on the farm over 29, 30 years ago. It wasn't on a regular basis, it was a contract basis. Anyway, the next slide. These are our heroes. These are 5 families. May not be exactly these 5, we're still defining that, but we want 5 families that are going to work out there on the rivers and do that most difficult task of living out there on the river. It's not easy. They don't have electricity in some of their houses. These 5 people are leaving their homes. They are being missionaries from Santarém to Humaitá And Matt and I and Amazon Salt and Light want to get behind them and support them, help them have fuel to travel to them, help provide their food, and help them to bring the gospel. Now, we want to be very clear that they are not supported in the sense of a dependency on us. We want them to see the necessity of raising up a church and then that church supporting them. So we would like to see and challenge our workers in 3 to 5 years to raise up a church, what we've seen happen in our ministry in the past, to believe that church to be raised up, to take up offerings and cover the sustenance and the needs of our national workers. And so we want to continue to do that. And as we do that, we want to continue to raise up new national workers and help them go out and do that same thing. So this is our goal. The last thank you. Without you being a part of us, without you participating with us in this journey, it would not be possible. How many times have I filled up my car with gas, sat down to supper, and said my prayer and said, Lord, thank you for those people that have made it possible. We would not be able to hear. Those people out there would not hear if you have not helped. You are as much as valuable as any of us in helping us to go. It is just that crucial. There's one more slide. That's a picture of Eldine and I. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I've gone through more than just a transition physically in my life this past year. I've gone through a spiritual transition, and I'm excited about it. I've never seen and understood God in a more real way. And when the pastor asked me to share here, I began to ponder and meditate and think and talk to God, and I realized what an incredible weight it is to preach the Word of God. The Bible says that it's a weight like a millstone that's hung around your neck. If I preach something to you and cause you, one of the little ones of God, to go astray, it would be better that I would be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around. It's a very serious responsibility for the pastor, for me, anybody, to get up in front of a church and share God's word with the people. It's such a privilege. I represent the living God. It's so exciting. I've been thinking a lot as I talk to people over and over here, and people say, you know, what are you doing down there? What are you going to do? And you know, you get kind of a pat answer. You know, we're going to go down and share the gospel. We're going to go down and tell people about Jesus. We're going to go and see people saved. And I began to see God deepen my understanding of what that really means to be saved, to know the gospel, to know what is the mystery of the gospel that we sang about today. And I want to share kind of the way God showed me a little bit. I hope you can understand it the way I did. But God took me back and had me kind of stand beside him when he created Adam. And I saw myself being created in Adam through his seed. So when God created Adam, he was causing him to be alive, giving him breath, and then through his seed, I have come down the generations. And then I began to see in the Word, it says, his mercies are new every morning. Another place in the Bible, it says, his mercies are extended from generation to generation. It's so exciting. I saw that God was thinking of me at the creation of the world when he created Adam and Eve. So, first of all, we live with ourselves, but do we really think about what we are and who we are? God tells us in His Word that we are body, soul, and spirit. And you ever try to explain that to somebody, it's a pretty big task. Where do you divide it? You know, it's kind of like the Trinity. How do you divide God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit? They're individual, they're unique, and yet they're one. And so it's a kind of, we use the example of an egg, there's water, there's different. But can we really understand that? And so I don't know that I'm going to do much better today, but one way I can show you is you probably all have been at a funeral. And when you were at a funeral, you probably saw somebody like this. Now, what did you see? You saw a body, right? There was no spirit there. There was no soul, just a body. So that helps you understand, okay, there's a body. I can understand that. Now, how can we add to that one aspect to understand the next level? I think God showed me that through an animal, you might understand what a soul is. I looked at my dog. My dog can show incredible joy, incredible emotions. Any one of our family would leave for 2-3 weeks, a month, 6 months, and come home. When that dog saw us at the door, the expressions of, you know, so joyful. And yet, within such a short time, you know, he's back to his normal self. But there is a soul there in the sense that there is life to that animal. Any pet that you have grown close to and have had to put down or to see it die, there's a loss there because there's a relationship. And so just like God creating Adam, he maybe created him with just that type of soul. Maybe Adam and God were talking and walking along, and just in that sense, I don't know exactly how it worked, but God was like, no, this is not good enough for a relationship with me. Just having an animal type person is not going to work for me. I need to go one level further. And he had a lot of thought that went into this. We'll see as you read the Bible, you understand he didn't just add the third part, the spirit, without thinking it through. So now add to the body, add to the soul, the spirit. The spirit is our spiritual connection to God. Okay? That is how we have an eternal value now, is through our spirit. Okay? Now, I see it a little bit like my body, my soul, my emotions, and all of that. And then the spirit, I kind of see what God said, okay, the spirit is over here. That's my connection to God. Okay, now, when he created Adam, and he's walking with Adam through the garden, he's saying, Adam, here's what life is like. You can eat of that tree. You can jump off that cliff. Be very careful. Anything over 6 feet, you might break your leg. You know, God is telling him about life, sharing life, communication, relationship. That's what God wanted with man. That's what brings him glory, because he created man, and now man is doing what God wants. Okay, what did he say to Adam? He said, Adam, if you choose with your mind and your heart not to keep that connection of the spirit, if you choose to do what you want to do, there's a real serious problem. I'm God, and I created you good, and I am good, and that spirit connects us. We have life. But if you, who I created, choose to go your way, you bring death. And we all know what Adam chose. It wasn't the apple he chose or fruit, but what it was, that he chose to do it his way instead of God's way. And what God said is that he loved Adam. He had said to Adam, if you choose to do it your way, my wrath will need to be poured out on you, and you will die. And God doesn't lie. And so Adam lost his life, his relationship with God, when he made that choice to go his way instead of God's way. Now, God, like I said, had been thinking about this, and from the very first moment that Adam chose his way, God said, I am going to extend mercy. This is an incredible mercy that you and I will never understand in all of our life, why God chose to have mercy. But God did. He said, I am going to choose to have mercy upon you. That's why he says his mercies are new every day. He did not kill Adam. He did not kill you and I. His mercies is still new. Today you and I are breathing because he has not taken our life yet. He wants us to reestablish that relationship. And so, okay, so we got Adam, and he's fallen. God kills an animal, covers Adam's sin in a way, and we know through the Bible, we see what an effect that has done now. And so now we see that Jesus Christ paid that price. He took the wrath of God. Jesus took that death that Adam should have taken, that you and I deserved. You know, I was thinking just the other day, the Bible doesn't just say that God loved us. We were actually his enemy. We were fighting against him. We cursed his name. We had the nature of Adam. We wanted to do everything our way. And God literally came across the lines into the enemy camp and made it possible for us to be his friend again. It wasn't nothing that we did. We all deserved death. And so by God's grace, through Jesus, we now have that life. And what I am fully understanding is that my way of thinking is still dead. If I try to decide what to do, it's not going to go any good. The other day I was talking to a friend of mine, and he shared with me about Herbert W. Armstrong, who was a founder of a cult. And he shared with me how that cult got started. And I wanted to share it with you. He was a vacuum salesman, and he was going house to house sharing vacuum sweepers. And he got to a house that was fairly nice, and he, in his heart, he thought, well, I'm going to raise that price up a little higher, and that way I can come down. And he raised the price up pretty good, and he went into the house, and he, you know, had his sales tactic and everything. And when he got all done and gave the price, the guy says, man, I love it. I'll take it. Never even bargained about the price. And Herbert W. Armstrong said, what do you do? And he goes, well, I'm a preacher. How do you make money? Well, I get money from tithes and offerings from the people that come to my church. Oh, really? Yeah. He went home and told his wife, I'm no longer a vacuum sweeper salesman. I'm going to be a preacher. Is that what we want to do with our mind? Choose to do what we think God? He preached for years what he thought God wanted. It wasn't even close to what God wanted. He didn't have any connection whatsoever to the Spirit of God in doing what God wanted. It was only what he wanted to do. And so we see that relationship can be restored, but we have to recognize that we live in Christ. It's not us anymore. We don't have a say in it. It's like a person that's a slave to a physical slave. He has no choice to do whatever. That's kind of the way we were. We were a slave to the devil, to his ways. We were a slave to the enemy. And what happened was when Christ died, he now said there's a way out. There's a way to be restored. And so now Christ didn't set us free to be free. Christ set us free because he paid a price for us. Now we are his. We can only do what he tells us to do as the master. We want to listen only to what he says to do. And what's so exciting about this is when you understand, Jesus says, what's the greatest commandment? Okay, what happened was, in the Old Testament, the rabbis, they would argue about what was the greatest commandment. And, of course, in the Old Testament, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And it also says to be holy as I am holy. So in the Old Testament time, they were always arguing about which was the greatest. And so that's what the mindset of these rabbis coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And so Jesus simply says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He continued on with that one. And then he says, the second one is just like it, or almost of equal value, that is loving your neighbor. And as I began to ponder that simple statement, how can I do that? I saw, okay, here's my way of thinking, what God's way is thinking. I need to love my neighbor. Okay, if I'm loving my neighbor, what's love? Love is that agape. Love is saying, okay, God, what do you want? You live in my life. I want what you want in his life. Doesn't make any difference in my life. So all of a sudden, I'm taken out of the picture. I don't live for me anymore. If I want to live the greatest commandment, I've got to live loving my neighbor. If I don't love my neighbor, I'm equal to the law. I mean, the law, you're guilty. And so we can look at the law. We say, the law says, do not lie. And we can say, oh, I didn't lie to that person. But what's love say? Love says, how can I tell you the truth in the most loving, godly way? That's a whole different mentality than someone who wants to live by the law. Psalm 119, 72 says, instructions from your lips is better for me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. This is partly what God spoke to me, how valuable the word of God is. Instructions from your lip. If Christ is living in me, his instructions to me and what to do 24 hours a day is more valuable than all that I can do with my strength in working for money or whatever I'm going to do. So no matter what I'm doing, I need to have the instructions of your lips. The instructions of your lips are also the word of God. So if I don't know the word, I won't know what the Spirit is telling me is correct or not. I'll be operating out of a Herbert W. Armstrong, just what I think. I have to have the word. I don't want to be up here just preaching something that's not of what Jesus or Christ would want in my life. This struggle between our flesh, our way, and God's way is real. It's part of our life. What I want you to grasp today is how much we still end up walking in the flesh. For example, one day Peter's walking along and he says, God says, Peter, or to his disciples, who do people say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the living God. And God looks at him and says, the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. And it's like, Peter's like inside is like, I got it right. Yeah. And just the same day, if not maybe longer, I don't know, or shorter, but it's almost in the same chapter, Peter hears Jesus talking about going to the cross and suffering. And Peter's like, ah, he's the Messiah. He doesn't go to the cross. I'm going to tell him he's wrong. So he finds a time to talk to Jesus. Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. That's not the way of the Messiah. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. What's the difference? Part of that is Peter looking at it through his eyes. He didn't have the relationship with the Lord. Had he had a relationship with the Lord, if he would have went to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't understand this. I understand you to be the Messiah, but how does the Messiah tie in to being suffering? I don't understand that. If he would have went to him out of relationship, he would have received life from that. I want to live in you, through you, Peter. Peter understood this later in life, but it took a while. Each one of us are going to struggle with that fight that we have to go through in wanting to do it our way and the way we think it is compared to where God wants us to be. The incredible part of this is God's ways, the Bible tells us, are higher than, or I'm sorry, our ways, our highest ways are lower than God's lowest ways. Okay, so like if I can think this high and do this much, God's lowest ways is still up here somewhere. And so now this is the mystery of the gospel, that God wants a relationship. He wants to take a dead person that chooses his own way and walk in that. It's Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own mind is a fool. He who trusts in his own mind is a fool. That's where I want you to try to understand from my example today that that spirit that God gave you, it's his connection to do it his way, not your way, not the way you see it. It has to be done his way. And what's so exciting, somebody could say to me, well, Scott, it's all arbitrary. You say God's this way, you say this. How do you know what's God's way? It's so exciting because if we follow the scripture I talked about in the greatest commandment that God would want you and I to live on a daily basis, to love one another, if I got a friend here that says one thing and I'm saying another thing and we're both saying God told me to do this and yet we're arguing and fighting, something's wrong. One or both or something's not right, because God doesn't work that way. What happens is, if I'm loving him, I'm saying, okay, God, what's your will in his life? And he's over here, he's saying, okay, God, what's your will in his life? Well, God's not going to tell us something different to love each other. We are going to walk in unity. We're going to walk in unity because we're both looking to him, not to what we each think we should do. And that's what unity is. Unity is doing what God wants in each other's life. And what's so exciting is when God says, humble yourself, and I will exalt you in the proper time. Wow. How many years have I gone through life trying to say, no, this is my way. I can do it. I want to do it. And it was like during this time, it's like, Lord, I don't care what people think. I'm going to say I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm going to say I'm wrong. I've blown it. I don't need to be right anymore because I'm living in you. I want to do what you want to do. And all of a sudden, I saw that humility, a person that says, man, I don't want it my way. I want it God's way. When that humility comes out, Jesus says, I will exalt you in the proper time. I don't care when he exalts me. I don't care if it's not until I die. I want to become less, and I want Christ to become more. Hallelujah. Let me just share one more scripture here from John. It talks about abiding in me. John 15:4. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Just as the branch cannot produce fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me, while I abide in him, produces much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is what I tried to share this morning. Without your spirit connected to him, we can do nothing. If we try to do it with our own strength, if I try to go to Brazil and share the gospel with people and tell them, you need to go to church, you need to do this, you need to do that. If I give them a list of rules, that's not my goal. My goal now is I want to lead them to Jesus. Because Jesus, if they can get connected to Jesus, Jesus will lead them. He's faithful. He has promised us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you are in your day, in the middle of the worst disaster, you can turn your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, what should I do next? Pray to me. You pray to him and you'll see miracles because you are in him. You've got to be in him. We can pray for the sick all we want, but if we're praying with our own mind, we're never going to get there. We've got to be in Christ. And then when it happens, it's not me. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. And so this whole idea of abiding, that whole branch thing, it's so beautiful how God took a branch and he talked about how you can cut off a branch and graft it in, okay? He calls us the wild olive branch. Those of us that didn't know Christ, that don't know Christ, are of a wild olive branch. It produces bad fruit. It's jealousy, it's killing, it's murder, it's all the bad fruit that the enemy wants to produce. That's the kind of tree that we came from. Was there anything that we could do to get out of that? Jesus paid the price. And he says, come, I will plant you in the tree of life. And he cuts us off when we believe in Jesus. And he says, okay, I'm going to take you now and I'm going to connect you by the Spirit. I'm going to put you in the tree of life. And it's only as long as you're connected to me in the Spirit, living in me, completely in me, not in yourself anymore. Your old self, it was dead, it's going to die, it's whatever, that's not going to cut it. Even if you try to live by the law, it's not going to cut it. Only abiding in me will you have life. Remember, we went back to that creation of the world. There's life in the soul, and then there's life in the spirit. If you don't connect to Jesus Christ, first of all, recognize what he did, what a great price he paid for you. Accept that in your life, and then say, Lord, for the rest of my physical life here on earth, I want to follow you with all my heart. I want to love you with everything I have within me. I want to take my body and my soul and my spirit and align it 100% with you. Amen. Amen? Pray for us that would be the goal of our ministry, to lead people to Jesus Christ. They could know the same Savior, the same life that you and I know. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, we've heard a good word this morning. As we get ready to draw service to a close, remember I'm asking you to linger and visit with them a little bit. If you have a desire to be a part of increasing support to their ministry, let the Treasury Department know. Let Ed Kendrick know. Ed, wave. Ed's right there. You can let him know if you want to place a pledge. But as a church, we want to support this. One of the most wonderful things that I hear that they're doing is raising up the local people to become the local church. You've heard that before. That empowers ministry to go on and on and on. As for the word for us as a church, increasing Jesus' lordship in our life is what it's all about. So, folks, thank you for bringing a timely word and a perfect word for us. Before we dismiss, I want to do something that's kind of a tradition because they're already sent. They've been sent for years and years and years, but they're being sent into a new territory, and we believe in the power of God. We believe in a corporate anointing, which means under the lordship of Jesus, there's extra that each of us can convey and provide. So as I'm challenging you to be a part of provision, we also want to be a part of the conveyance, which means this morning before they go to the back. We want to lay hands on them. So if you just come and stand in the front, we're just going to do what has become a Living Word tradition, but it's a scriptural order to lay hands on and send people that are going to do the work of the ministry. Now, they've already answered the call long ago, but they're being sent into new territory, into a new and expanded vision that goes on and on and on, that will carry on into the generations. And I feel compelled for us to pray for them. So a number of you that want to come, please come quickly and gather around them and lay your hands on them, and we're going to pray together. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for your servants, Scott and Aldine. Father, they've operated in your presence and your anointing and your calling these many years. Father, as they've come home for a little season, they've embraced a new season in ministry and a new season in their life and marriage and for their family. Heavenly Father, we speak into their future that it's consecrated and dedicated to you by their mouth and their choices and their decisions to move forward, and we know that honors you well. Lord Jesus, we ask your special hand of protection, that your Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct them in every step, every day, that by your inward witness and even your spoken word, they will have divine direction in everything. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as they go back again to what has been home for many years, that you have the perfect dwelling places for them and all those that go out on the river and all those that support the network of ministry. Father, we speak into existence by your word. We command into existence perfect living dwelling places for each family that will be safe. Father, that your ministering angels that are assigned to each person in each family surround them and make their way perfect. Father, we thank you that your anointing will come upon them for special tasks and special deeds. Father, to meet the special needs of your kingdom. Father, thank you that there will be a longevity of this work, that you will protect the fruit of it, that the fruit will be abundant. It will not be a year before the first harvest, but in the first day, Father, they will see fruit. As they step forward into each village, each endeavor, Father, there will be an immediate connection. You will give them the right people locally to connect with the work, and immediately that work will begin. Father, it'll be as though you had people waiting with an eager heart to hear the gospel with a quick and immediate response. But Lord Jesus, even more than quick and immediate, that there is a dedicated focus and desire to serve Jesus as Lord. Now, Father, thank you that your anointing make the way, that your word make the way, and that your Holy Spirit make their way perfect. Father, thank you for protecting them and providing long life unto them, keeping them in their ways as they go. Father, that they'll not stumble over any stones. They'll not have to wade through too deep a water. Father, you'll take care of them. We speak your blessing over them and thank you for their life, their ministry, and their service to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 With that this morning, I'll say you're dismissed, but let them get to the back before anybody leaves, please, and kind of get at their table. And if this morning you desire ministry or prayer for any reason, perhaps you came today wanting to hear the gospel and receive Jesus as your Savior, you just come to the front this morning. We'll pray with you. If you desire more of the power of God in your life and want to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you just come to the front. I will pray with you. But before you go, know this. God's blessed you to serve his kingdom well. He's blessed your family in this season to be a light under the darkness and to make a change wherever you go. I want to pray for you before you go. Heavenly Father, thank you for your congregation at Living Word. Father, thank you for causing our lives to honor you well. Father, I ask that your blessing be upon every person and every family here. Father, you've raised us up to be a light. You've raised us up to be a voice. You've raised us up to be a living Jesus, a living word to the people in our area. Father, I thank you for preserving and protecting and providing for every person here and doing so better than we ever could for ourselves. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.